Hello and welcome to Your Property Podcast. My name is Michelle Cairns, and with us today we have got Perry Wilson. Hi, Perry.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you. It's great to have you on today. And
great to be here.
I'll just ask you to introduce you in just a second, but we actually connected through, I listened to you being interviewed on another podcast and absolutely loved your story. And so I just thought, let's bring your story to our listeners and share it with our audience as well. So do you want to just give us a quick overview about yourself and how you got into property?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I go back about 5 years now, almost exactly five years, six months. And I was working behind a bar. This is how much of a loser I was. I was 57 year old working behind a bar on minimum wage. I had no money in the bank. And I had £10,000 of the credit card debt. That's what you would call a bullshit backstory in a lot of these things. But it's true in my case. And I remember standing behind the bar thinking, you know what? When I was a young man, and I thought when I get to 57, I'd always imagined I'd be a bit further ahead than I am now. And something else dawned on me that I had 10 years left, because for somebody my age, 67 is state retirement age. So I had 10 years to make a difference, 10 years to do something massively different to what I'd been doing for the last 57. And it came as a bit of a shock. And I think if you ask anybody who goes through a transformation like this, there'll be a tipping point at some stage. And the tipping point's always interesting. For me, it was the recognition that I had 10 years left to go, and there wasn't any time to mess around. So I set myself a rather ambitious target. What I thought was ambitious at the time was to own a yacht, a luxury yacht, and have it moored in somewhere in the Mediterranean, and have enough money in the bank to sail around the Mediterranean with my wife, you know, fill her full of rum and victuals and just act like a couple of pirates for the remaining years of our life. So that was my original goal. So I costed that, and I reckon I can get a 50-foot Beneteau for £100,000. And I again reckon that I had £200,000 in cash in the bank. That shows how naive it was. That would last me the rest of my life. And so I initially had a target of £300,000. And I think that's the most important thing. That's what changed my life overnight, was the fact that I had a goal, because up to that time, I just drifted through life, much like everybody else does, and just seeing what life threw at you. And so I was backed into this corner of designing a goal. And then I had to have a plan to achieve the goal. So being on minimum wage, I had to make more money. And now at the time, I was working behind the bar from 5:30 at night till 12:30. So you'd lock up and do the tills and what have you. But that gave me time during the day to do something else. So I had a bit of a think, and I thought, well, I could drive a cab during the daytime. So I went to speak to a few taxi companies, found one I like. And so I started working as a cab driver from 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I would go to the bar at 5:30 and do a 12:30 shift. So it's two full-time jobs. And I did that for 3 months. But guess what happened to my income? Well, naturally, it doubled. If you work twice as hard, twice as many hours on minimum wage, you make twice the money. So I quite like that. But that sort of lifestyle was pretty much unsustainable for somebody my age. So I jacked the bar work in, but I continued working 80 hours a week as a cab driver, because it's much easier as a cab driver. Although it's minimum wage, it's stress-free, and all it is sitting on your backside talking to people all day. So it's a job that any man can do, any woman can do. There's no responsibility, there's no stress. And so working sort of 12 to 13 hours a day is relatively easy. So for 2 years, I worked 80 hours a week. I took 4 days off in 2 years. I took Christmas Day and Boxing Day both years, until I'd saved £20,000. And then I bought my first property. It was £63,000. It was a lovely two-bed semi in a place called Norton on Teesside. I can't buy where I live because it's just too expensive. So I had to buy some distance away from me. And it was rent for £500. The management company was taking 50. The mortgage was £87, can you believe? And so I was making, let's call it £400 a month clear on that, which shortened the time to my second one. But the time was made shorter because I was telling a mate of mine what I was doing. And he says, "Oh, you know, I should have done that years ago. Gee, I've got an idea. Why don't we buy a house together?" And I said, "Well, I would do, but I've just bought a house and I'm skint," which is one of the dangerous things I do, is when I save up enough money for a house, I spend it all on a house and I've got no money in the bank. So it's rather dangerous. So, but I knew how to do it. I was backed into the corner because I've been stupid all my life and I had 10 years to do this. So I said, "Look, I can't do this with you." But he said, "Well, not to worry. I've got £20,000. I'll buy the house this time, put both our names on. Then when you saved enough money, we can buy another one together." So I said, "Okay." So 6 months later, I had two houses and I didn't put any money at the second one. But of course, I don't keep all the rent from that. That's half. So that was about £200 a month there. So now I'm making £600 a month more than, in addition to my 80 hours a week cab driver on minimum wage. So it took me another year and a half to save enough money, £20,000, to buy another property. My friend at the time, then rather, couldn't prove income because this was his second purchase and the lender wanted to see what income he had. So he couldn't prove it. So I bought this one in my own name. So in just over 3 years, I bought three houses on minimum wage. First one was 63,000. Coincidentally, the second one was 63,000. And the third one was 67,000. Nice houses in nice areas for nice people to live in. Naturally, not London. It doesn't, the whole thing process doesn't work in London, but there are lots of places outside the UK that you can do that. So at that stage, I was making about £1,000 from the three properties, which was the same money as I needed to cover all the bills in the house. So after only 3 years, just over 3 years, I'd become what some people call financially independent lean, which is that my income from properties, my unearned income, was enough to cover all my bills in the house. So I've reached FI, lean FI, in 3 years.
How did that feel to just have that money coming in, paying your bills, and you didn't have to go to work
I
if you didn't
didn't.
want to?
I was relatively numb at this stage because I'd worked every day pretty much for 3 years, and I still don't do it. I still don't pat myself on the back. I occasionally try to force myself to look back and say, "Look, Perry, look how far you've come," because I'm nowhere near the goal. But what I did do when I got to that third property, I realized that my own goal of £300,000 was going to be easy. I'd looked at it when I first started, Michelle, 5 years ago now, from the perspective of somebody who'd never had any money. So to me, 300,000 was the most I could possibly expect to get together in my life. But when I bought the three houses, I thought, "Wait a minute. If I keep on buying a house every year doing this way, I'm going to smash that £300,000." So I changed the goal to £1 million
Wow.
after 3 years. So £1 million in 10 years was earning only minimum wage. And because I'd
And
moved the goal,
was that 1 million in
equity.
equity or
Equity, yeah,
equity? Okay.
equity. And because I'd moved the goal so massively, to get back to your question, I didn't feel good because I was still miles and miles away from it. So to me, I could look back over 3.5 years and say, "Okay, that was okay." But I can look forward to 6.5 years and say, "Well, now I've got to do it all again. And I've got to do it all again twice to do that. And I've got to pick up the pace as well, otherwise I'm not going to make the million." So to me, it was just more hard work. It's what I've learned to call the suck. And everybody has to go through the suck at some stage. It's that getting up in the morning. In my case, it's 5 o'clock. As you can see from your screen, I'm still a cab driver now, my uniform on. I've had to stop driving to come here for an hour. I still get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I work till 5 o'clock at night. I've slacked off a little now because I'm comfortable with the extra income coming in. So I no longer work 80 hours a week, but I do work 60 hours a week. And then I've recorded everything on my YouTube channel, so I have to shoot videos at the weekend. So I'm still effectively working a long, long time, but I've still got so far to go. So I mean, I realized that, well, if you're going to have to pick the pace up here, Perry, you're going to need to buy a different or use a different strategy. So in October last year, that's into my just after 4 years, I bought my first serviced accommodation. It took me a little bit more money, took me for about £40,000 to get into it. Because I had to buy all the furniture pack, and those you were in for service accommodation know there's a lot, it takes a bit more money and there's a lot more work involved. So it took me a bit longer to save the money. And I bought my first service accommodation in October last year. It's not been a massive hit. One of the things I do guard massively is my integrity and my honesty. Because I've learned, especially in social media, because everybody's got a camera, if you tell a lie, it will come out sometime. So I tell the truth all the way. And if you watch my videos, you'll tell me, I tell you all the bad points, all the good points. The service accommodation not been massively enjoyable so far. It is seasonal, in my experience, and I've been told by others that yes, there are peaks and troughs throughout the year. I got it in October, took to November to get it on the usual platforms. It was rented out pretty much December, January, and February, but I had to reduce the cost. So it was kind of dynamic pricing, half the normal room rate I would charge in the summertime. So it was full, but it was just covering costs. I had a big cancellation in February, 25 nights cancelled in February. That was painful. And for the rest of the year, looking forward, I have 2 weeks worth of bookings in. So it's not fantastic, but
It's
it's,
very up
you
and
can't
down,
measure
isn't
it.
it?
Yeah,
It's a roller
you can't measure
coaster.
these things. You can measure buy let pretty much within a month or 2 months. You'll have somebody in it, it'll be
Yeah.
paying rent. There you go. With serviced
But it
accommodation,
won't be as much, will it?
yeah, exactly right.
Won't be as
And
much money,
I'm
that's the thing.
absolutely right. So I'm learning as I go, and I can't judge it as a buy let because it's a very different animal. It could fill up 2 or 3 months, could fill up tomorrow. And those people who are in it and being longer me, see, that's how it works. And you just gotta bite the bullet and get through the suck again. But it will recover because it's in a great place. It's on Teesside again. The government are pumping loads of money at Teesside. It's been nominated a free port, sucking in contractors from all over the country. So I'm sure that'll work over the year, next year or so. So but it's been a bumpy ride right now and a little stressful, I don't mind saying. But so where do we go from here?
Well, so just because we haven't really, let's just dive in a little bit. So you saved up the money, saved up the 20,000. Why didn't you just keep on saving until you had your yacht? Why did you kind of take a left turn and go into property to get the
Well,
cash flow?
it's one of the things I've learned is that, we desire that which we can't have. We don't desire things like oxygen and water because we have an abundance of it. We only desire those things we can't have. And when I could see, although I didn't have the £300,000, but when I could see it was possible to get it, the yacht became less desirable. And then when you do the maths, if you strip away the emotion from it, that you want this nice yacht so everybody can look at you and see how successful you are. But if you strip all that nonsense away, it's a bit of a bill, a yacht. If you want to go and spend 3 months on a yacht, your best and most efficient way to do that is to hire a yacht. So whilst I will still do that, I still see myself, one of my ambitions is to sail the Atlantic single-handed, but to be the oldest person to do that. And I need to be 82 to do that. So I still want to do that, but I no longer have the requirement or the status rather to own the yacht because it's just a big bill.
Yeah,
So
so
we
you swap
do.
that for the goal, but then what? So if the yacht is less desirable, now you've got the new goal of 1 million. Actually, what is it that the million will give you then? So it's not just the number, is it?
Well,
What's the
no, it's
real
not. It's
reason?
not money. If I get back to the oxygen and the water thing, you only desire that which you don't have. But once you've got it, it becomes it loses its ta it loses its luster. So you don't. We don't desire oxygen. But if I held your head underwater for 30 seconds, you'd start desiring oxygen. If you don't desire water, but if you're left in the desert for 2 weeks without any water, you'd desire water. But when I give you the oxygen back, it loses its value again because you've already got it. So yeah, I can extend that analogy. Let's say I have a magic wand, Michelle, and there's me and you sitting there, and I can give you anything you want, and you would, without asking you, without prejudging you, most people would say things. Oh, I'd like the big house. Yes, I'd like the nice car. I'd like a £50,000 holiday or two every year. And if every time you told me what you wanted, I waved your wand. I waved my wand and I said, "Okay, you've got that, Michelle. What next?" Well, I'd want a fantastic partner who'd look after me and provide. Yeah, no problem. There's my wand. You can have that too. Now what? Well, big house. Yeah, there's your big house. Yeah. And once you've got all those things, you then say, "Okay, now you've got them. What are you going to do now?" And then you start thinking, "What is it that truly makes you happy?" And it's not the having of these things that make you happy. You say, "Okay, well, I'd kind of like I might go for a walk along that beach." I can go for a walk around the beach. That's fine. I might go for a walk in the woods. Go for a walk in the woods. I might have to bring all my family. I'd bring all your spend time with your family. And ultimately, when you get right down to the answer and all the question, what is it you want? It's walking on beaches and walking in the woods and having spent time with your family. And that's bloody free. Everybody's got that anyway. So it ceases to be the motivator to acquire all these things. But what I did was I built a YouTube channel, and I said, I'm going to demonstrate how a person on a minimum wage can make £1 million. And that's because there are lots of people that don't have that mindset, including myself for 57 years, by the way. But if I can finish this little project and I can demonstrate to those people who don't have my mindset as I have it now, that they too can believe they can achieve what I can achieve, and I can record it as I go so nobody can say I didn't do it, then hopefully that'll be a little torch for others to follow. And that is becoming what I'm thinking about now, is I've got to keep doing this because I said I'd do it and I want to prove it can be done. But having spent all my time dedicated to making myself wealthy, I'd like now to spend time showing other people how to become wealthy. And there's no real there's a monetary advantage to that, because people will pay for that. I'm not stupid enough, naive enough to deny that's not the case. People will do that, because there are other people who still think it's nice to have the yacht and have the big car and the big house and such like. But once you've got rid of that mindset, put those to one side, it's the other thing. But I want to help others who have nothing. Your audience is sophisticated. They're looking at different strategies to get into property to make more money. My audience is people who haven't got anything, who probably don't have the mindset yet, who definitely don't have any money. And if I can prove to them and help them do what I do, then that has almost become my next goal.
Yeah,
And then
that's
that's
your
where I'm going
mission.
now. That's my mission, if you wish to call it that. Yeah, it's my
Yeah.
mission. Mission.
It's it rather than just a destination, it becomes the reason to get up every morning, the reason to carry on and share what you're
And
doing
I
with the
think that's
world.
it's important. You see somebody, my dad retired early at 64, 63, which was early for him, for his generation. He spent the next 27 years watching television. And it wasn't even the programs he wanted to watch, it was the programs my mother wanted to watch. And I promised I would not be like him. And that's because he never had a purpose. And so many people go into retirement without a purpose and do nothing. And it's been said that retirement is something you do just before you die. And you see so many people, Steve Wright died last this week. And although it hasn't come out how he died yet, they just finished him as a DJ, and it was his life. And there are people who are like him, who once their job finished, they felt like their life had ended as well. And that happened for my dad. And I never want that to happen. So you need, as a human being, you need a purpose to get up in the morning. So many people don't. So many people drift through life and just, blown by the wind and the tide. And if you only get one shot at life, and I don't know what your religious beliefs are. I'm not blessed with a belief system like that. So I believe this is our only shot at life here. And if it is your only shot, and there's no evidence to prove otherwise, if it is your only shot, shouldn't you give it your best shot? Shouldn't it be the most fantastic life you can build for yourself and your family in that time? I think so.
Completely agree. I couldn't agree more. I love
Yeah.
it. And so I'm curious. So the Perry before this epiphany, this aha moment about having 10 years left, and the Perry afterwards. What, okay, you kind of realized I've got 10 years left, but how did you go into that other world, go completely off track? Because a lot of people must think, oh, I've got 10 years left. What am I going to do? Oh, well, I'll just have to figure it out as I go along. And they don't, sadly. And they end up getting trapped in trying to work as they, later on in the years. So, what was it that, is it, have you been into personal development before, or was it just you kind of found a new way and then went down a different path?
All I ever wanted to be, I'm getting a bit emotional, was my wife's hero, the one I wanted. And I carried that from the wrong way. I've had some stellar jobs, Michelle. I'm not a stupid guy. I spent 12 years in the forces. I spent 7 years in politics. I've dined at 10 and 11 Downing Street. I have been CEO of a foreign property sales company, head of business development for mortgage packaging company. I have some great jobs. And with that comes some good money. And so I bought the cars and I bought the nice holidays. And it was all to impress people. And that's what most people do. And most people play the status game. they're trying to impress the people around them, average people around them, because the people who most people are surrounded by are average people by definition. And we spend so much of our time trying to impress them, and in my case, impress my wife. And that's how you lose your money. Valuing, it's been said many times, valuing looking wealthy over actually being wealthy. And once you become relatively wealthy, you can look back and see such a fool. And why was I trying to be like these people? Why are they trying to be like me? And I've been so stupid all my life. And it took being painted into a corner by my own stupidity, age 57, to realize, to wipe the veil from my eyes and to say, "What are you doing this for? This is completely unnecessary. Your wife's going to love you anyway, whatever you do." So I just said, "Bollocks to it. I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to." And I knew all that. I mean, who doesn't know that spending all your money will never make you wealthy? Everybody knows that. If you're going to spend all your money, you'll never be wealthy. Who doesn't know you should put money in your pension? Who doesn't know you should save money and not spend it all? Who doesn't know that property is probably the one of the easiest ways in the man in the street to acquire wealth? Who doesn't know that stuff? Everybody knows it. So why don't they do it? Because they're always looking for these. I'll tell you three reasons why. There are three reasons people don't become wealthy, Michelle. The first one's hard work. Right. If somebody comes to me and I will say, "I'll tell you how to be wealthy. You can watch my videos step by step. Follow me, you become wealthy." The first one's hard work. If you're not going to work 60 hours a week, you're not going to make the money. That's what it takes for normal people. Normal people. The other thing is sacrifice. I tell people, if I do a little coaching, I say, "Look, get me a bank statement out. We'll go through and we'll ring everything on there that you spend that is non-discretion, that is discretion rather, what your Netflix is and where you go on holiday and how much you spend on drinking and what your takeaways are. And I want you to go through there and tell me what you're willing to sacrifice in order to become wealthy." And if you're not willing to sacrifice Amazon Prime in order to be wealthy, then here's a tip for you. You go to your fridge, you pour yourself a glass of your favorite tipple, you sit down, you watch Love Island and enjoy your freaking life, right? Because I've got no time for you. And that's the other reason people aren't willing to make a sacrifice. So it's hard work, sacrifice. And the last one is time. When people say you can be rich overnight, you can't be rich overnight. You can't be rich in a year. You can't be rich in 2 or 3 years. This is going to take 10 years. And when you tell people what's necessary to become wealthy, they don't want to do it, because when they say they want to be wealthy, what they mean is they want to be wealthy now, and they don't want to work for it, and they're not going to make any sacrifices. And that's why people don't become wealthy. It's much easier to look wealthy and try and impress your loser friends than put the work, effort, and sacrifice in to become wealthy.
The easy route is just short-term thinking. It just doesn't get you to anywhere near what you really
Not at
want.
all. But you can take the
And
easy
some,
route. You can
yeah, there's
take the easy route,
sometimes.
you know. I mean, I, when I but I say to people, I say, look at here. If you want to be wealthy, there's a couple of questions you have to ask yourself. Do you want to do this the short, hard way or the long, easy way? If you want to go the short, hard way, you've got to get the best bang for your buck, and that is going through property, because you're going to get 20, 30% a year with capital growth and income from property. But it's hard. You need a chunk of money, and it's stressful, or can be stressful. Well, in that case, I don't want to do it. What's the long, easy way? Let's put your money in your pension. Stick 500 quid a month in your pension, and you do that for 40, 50 years, you'll be a millionaire. But it's going to take 40 or 50 millionaires. If you want to do it 10 years, you've got to get into property.
Yeah, and I think it's incredible that that you got to that point where most people would have either just given up or thought it was too late. I can't do anything now. And you didn't. You've gone just gone out there and made huge, massive action, take massive action, made all these changes, and you're on a completely different trajectory now. So tell us
Because
about where you are up to now.
where am I now? So I'm in a position where I've refinanced each of the three properties I bought. The serviced accommodation hasn't been done long enough, another 2 years before I can refinance that. But I've got £40,000 out of the previous three properties. So I'm in a position to buy another property soon. So in July, I'll buy my fifth property. It'll probably take the portfolio to close to half a million. There won't be a terrific amount in there, over 100,000, between 100 and 150,000, depending on how you value them. Who knows how you do that? So I've still got a step way to go. And then I'm going to take, I wouldn't say a year off, but I put myself in a precarious position, Michelle, every time I buy a house, as I said earlier. And then I go from 30 or £40,000 in the bank to nothing. And I've got to be careful because on the first property I bought 2.5 years into it, I needed a roof replacement, and it cost £10,000. I didn't have the money. Now, I said right at the beginning I had £10,000 of the credit card debt. I'd paid it all off 2 months prior to that, and then I had to go to Halifax and borrow the £10,000 to fix the bloody roof. So it's down again to about £9,000 now, and that's the danger I put myself in. So I found myself reflecting a month or so ago, thinking, okay, I've come further than I would imagine I've ever have come. I would ever have got. So I'm worried now. How is somebody going to take it away? So I made a big list of things that can go wrong to take my properties and my success so far away from me. Amongst them was things like, I have no really cash buffer. I've got a couple of £1,000 in stocks and shares. I said, but that's not enough to do anything in property. I said, so I need to get that to a position where I've got £20,000 in stocks and shares, ISA, or in cash, and some liquid amount to protect me from something going wrong with the property. So I'm not going to buy another property until I've done that. So that'll delay the project by maybe it's a year. There's things that go wrong, like I could lose my job as a taxi driver for whatever reason. I could get drunk one night and decide to go to work in the morning still drunk, if I was such an idiot. But there's lots of things can happen. So I need that would be catastrophic to lose the money I make from a cab driver, because I still save £1,000 a month from cabbing to put towards the property. So that would slow me down. So I need to find another income stream. So I've got plans to do that. I'm launching a subscription site in March. So I'll let you know how that goes. So that's that figure. I could get divorced and I'd lose half my money. So I have to be careful and
That's
make sure I look after my wife. And it's easy to do, just because I obsess about what I'm doing, there's no reason for my wife to obsess about it. And
Yeah.
I spend more time away from her as a necessity. So it's important you remember your partner. And I promised to take her on a holiday this year, to look after, make sure she doesn't divorce me and take off my money. So it's important to do that. So, but I think once this year's over and I've consolidated and made what I call my base camp. And I'm buying properties now. My serviced accommodation was the first one I bought in a limited company. So I'll buy a limited company moving forward because it'll push me into the 40% bracket. So I've got a base camp set next year. So that's what I'm doing the next 12 months. I've got a book launch in July. So lots of stuff going on. But I mean, essentially, I hope to keep on buying at least one property a year as we go. And then interest rates rise, could again rise. And then I thought, well, okay, my rent, by the way, my net rent went from about £400 a month to 220 because of interest rate rise. So fell more than half. So that could happen again. So I think in the future, what I'll be doing is once I think probably buy two or three more properties, and then I'm going to start paying down the first three I bought to a position where they are at 50% of the price I bought them for, not the value, but the price I bought them for, to protect me from interest rate rises in the future. So it's more about protection. I think the next 12 months will be protecting what I've got, build that firm base, that base camp to push forward from, and then just keep on going there. And I'm learning as I go. I'm learning all the time. I couldn't have done the stuff I'm doing now 3 years ago because I didn't know. And that's something else you've got to do. And it's why learning and self-improvement is important. I spend an hour a day on YouTube, not watching stuff, but learning stuff all the time. It's a great place to get free education and learning stuff all the time, and watching and subscribe to your magazine and all that stuff for people who are just further ahead of you. You don't want to spend your time. If you're in business, starting a business, don't watch Elon Musk. Elon Musk will tell you nothing about your business and how to start. He's too far ahead of you. What you need are people who are two, three, four, five steps ahead of you, and they're the people that can teach you, because they remember what it was like to be in your place. Elon Musk can't remember what it's like sleeping on the floor with his brother, sharing a computer between the two. Doesn't help you. Jeff Bezos, can't teach you anything, how to run your flower stall or whatever. Too far ahead. You want to get the people like YPN, your magazine, people who are two or three steps ahead of you. Go to property meetings if you want to do that. People who are the same as you are, but more importantly, people who are two or three steps ahead of you. And that's where you keep learning and keep moving forward.
So, have you got a date in mind? Have you mapped it out to the date about when you might hit that target?
Well, I've got myself a 10-year project, so I've got 5 years to go. It's on the birthday of I'm 67, so I'm 62 now, 63 this year. So 4 5 years to go, 4 to 5 years to go. I'm going to push to get there. And you know what, Michelle? If I don't make it and I only end with 750,000, well, I'll be crying all the way at the bank. But
Absolutely,
at
don't
least
you?
I'll be able to say, that I did it on minimum wage. And I think then that's the difference. There are so many people out there who are struggling to get in the property ladder. And I think, well, why are you struggling to get in the property ladder? I did it in 2 years on minimum wage. And if there's two of you working, if you're a partner, you're partners together, you only need half that to get in. It's just, I don't know. I don't know. It's again, it comes down to mindset, I guess. But hey, I live with that. If I fail, it won't be the first time I've failed, that's for sure. So I'm used to that.
Well, probably won't be the last, but we've all been there. We're
No,
all
it won't.
failing forward. So that's the
Absolutely.
most important thing, right? Is that you just keep
Absolutely.
on going and you don't give up. And whether it's 10 years or whether it's 11 years or whatever it is, you're actually building not just the cash flow, not just the equity, but the legacy as well. It's the legacy not just for the portfolio to pass down through the family, but a legacy in your YouTube channels and sharing everything that you're learning along the way as well. So you must have had quite a few people reach out to you and say, what an inspiring story it is. Have you had any people who've kind of made some changes in their own lives? And
Lots of people. And it's the thing I've got most gratitude for is that I say my YouTube site. It's not huge. What I'm doing is hard. When people want to watch YouTube channels, they want somebody to show them the magic way of doing it. But there is no magic way. There's a simpler way of doing it. It's hard work, sacrifice, and time. That's how you do it. So so my channel sometimes hard to watch because it's honest and I say how it is. So we've got about just over 5,000 subscribers. I get about 20% engagement, which is quite big. I think most
yeah, I
YouTubers,
think so.
regardless of size, get about 5% engagement. I get about 20% because the people who are just like me, just normal people, and get a little inspiration. That's what keeps me going. And they come back and say, yeah, and they reach out on LinkedIn as well. They'll say, I'm just buying. I've got enough to buy me first property. What should I do now? I've been watching you. One guy actually started being a cab driver because I was a cab driver. So it's a great way of making money. I don't mind telling you, it's the best way of making money. It's completely stress free. It's the best. I've had some great jobs, as I said, but this is one of my best jobs, honestly, I tell you.
Yeah, get to chat to people all day long, hey?
It's great, and I've got a big smile on my face when I think about all the people who reached out and I've been able to help, and I want to do more of that. And if it costs me nothing and it makes their lives better, well, then what's there's nothing to lose, is it?
Absolutely. So for anyone who is looking to get into a property, let's say they're on the minimum wage, then making some changes, just can you leave them with, one or two ideas just to take them, take away with them.
Yeah, sure. The first thing you need is a goal. I know it's overstated. People don't like setting goals because it means it sets them up for a fail or a success. But you need a goal. It genuinely is. Even if it's just one, if it's just one property, you want to buy one property. You may live in a house where nobody's had a house. Everybody's lived rented all their lives. If you have one property, then that'd be fantastic. Set that goal. Give yourself a time. Now you need a plan. So let's say you want to buy a property in 5 years. If it's too expensive, you live in London, then you can't buy in London. Simple as that. So your goal can't buy to buy a property in London. But doesn't matter where the property is. If you want to get in the housing ladder, the best you can do to secure your future wealth is to buy a property somewhere. It doesn't matter where. Best places to buy, I think, are up north. I buy in Teesside. You can go to Liverpool, places in Scotland. Lots of experts who will help you there and find the properties for you. I can introduce you to some of them there if you wanted to, but I'm sure you've got your own network. Do that, Michelle. Set yourself a time frame. You want to do it in 5 years. You're going to need about £30,000. You divide 5 years into £30,000. There's £6,000. You need to find £6,000 a year. You can either do that through savings by making sacrifices, cutting all Amazon Prime and Disney and all that stuff out, working 4 hours extra a day. You do that, you'll have a house in 5 years, I promise you. And that's all it is. You see, and the good thing about 5 years is you can see it. If you stand on your tiptoes, you can see 5 years. And the problem with pensions is, if you're trying to sell a pension and you say, never mind, in 30 or 40 years' time, you're going to feel the benefit of this. Can't see it. 5 years, I can show you how in 5 years you can own a house. Do me, I did it in 2 years. I proved it. You can do it in 2 years. We wouldn't work 80 hours a week, but most people aren't. Have to be realistic. If you want to do it in 5 years, easy peasy. That's how you do it.
Amazing. Right. I think that's a great place to wrap up. Perry, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for sharing your story. And we'd love to support you. So if there's anything that we can do from YPN, we've got some service. accommodation, training, and things.
Brilliant.
So happy to connect you there. And yeah, let's get your goal, to
Thank you.
why wait, let's do it soon if we can. So
Brilliant.
let's get Perry to 1 million as soon as possible, and then we'll have you back on. So once you reach your goal, we'll have you back
Yeah,
on.
thank
Okay.
you. If I'm just say, if anybody wants to follow me, find me, Michelle. I have a YouTube channel called Stupid is the Norm. And that's because most people are stupid, including myself, when it comes to personal finance.
Right. Well, we'll put the links to all that in the show notes with
Thank
your
you.
YouTube videos as well. And wishing you all the best, Perry.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Right. For anyone who's not yet a subscriber to the YPM magazine, click the link in the show notes for your free 30-day trial. And we'll see you next time, guys.